is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good yawning this morning. It's Monday, March the 22nd, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, Bahamas. Today, we're going to have an open line Monday. I'm reading from the headlines. I want to hear what you have to say about them. What you think are the most pressing concerns for the Bahamas today. Remember, you're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And if you want to join the conversation, you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-4796. That's 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you can call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, or 326-4259. You can also tune in because we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. Or you can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or Flow, channel 612. If you're experiencing a little static on those radio dials or television stations, we'll let the team know that they got to tune into that. A couple of people have been saying that. But still tune in. There are a number of options you can use to stay a part of the conversation. Like I said, today is an open line. We're talking headlines. But I got to tell you, if you enjoyed Friday's show, which I did, I enjoyed it so much we're having a part two this Friday. If you enjoyed Friday's show, if you missed parts of Friday's show, or if you want to just listen to it again, you can find us online. You can listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere, on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to www.guardiantalkradio.com and clicking the podcast tabs. And if you're looking for On the Clock, you go to https://2/ on the clock with erin green.castus.com. That's how you find us, and that's how you find the show. A lot of people wanted to hear more about these two cooking men. You know, they want to hear about things like bread made by the hands of man and the exciting things going on in the culinary world. But in particular, I think people were really excited about hearing the opportunities available to them and to young people to explore the current culinary world. So go online, find that show, or stay tuned. On Friday, we're going to continue that. Also, did you know Saturday, the 20th of March, was World Storytelling Day? It's a really important day, especially for people like us in the Bahamas that have an oral history tradition, right? That means we pass our history down through stories, right? We don't really write them down in books, so we don't have a practice of that. We tell stories. And that's why World Storytelling Day is so important for us in the Bahamas, because we got to figure out how we're going to document all of these stories about ourselves, about our lives, about how we got here. We got to figure that out. Also, yesterday was World Poetry Day. The 21st of March is World Poetry Day. And if you didn't know, the Bahamas has some of the world's most prolific poets, world-class poets, well-known throughout the world and the Caribbean. is just an amazing list of poets, and I'm hoping to have some of those poets on in a few weeks so we could talk about their work and how the creative arts heal us, soothe us, drive us, not just individually, but collectively. Also, this is what I'm most excited about today. Well, yesterday was World Down Syndrome Day, and that's the 21st of March. It is the day is marked to raise awareness about Down syndrome. The day was first officially observed by the United Nations in 2012. The date, March 21st, was chosen to observe the day as it signifies the uniqueness of the triplication of the 21st chromosome, which causes Down syndrome. That's why they chose the 21st of March. Now, this is an exciting day for me. One of the most popular campaigns for World Down Syndrome Day is called Lots of Socks. If you see me today, I can be wearing my gunning pants. Now, I know I-45, if you in my age range, you know what gunning pants is. I could be wearing my gunning pants so I could show off my mismatched socks, right? And that's what we do on World Down Syndrome Day. We wear mismatched socks to raise awareness, right, about Down syndrome. So if people ask you, what's up with these socks, Ms. Green? You know, you forget, you bathe in the dark, you get dressed in the dark. You know, I try not to bathe because it's cold. But I'm really excited. If you see me, ask me about my socks. I'm very proud about them. And I'm proud to be able to talk about the work that the Down syndrome community in the Bahamas and in the globe is doing. Because people with Down syndrome are people. They're one of us. And they have a right to not just be, but we have an obligation to ensure that they can participate equally and equitably in society. So if you haven't gotten dressed yet, put on your mismatched socks. Now is the time. So I see we got a caller on the line, Arlington. Let's get to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Well, I got one sock. I didn't lie.
You have on one pair or 1 foot?
1 foot.
Okay, you good. That's mismatched.
But I really know. I really good thing. I thought it's good. I really know. It was Down Syndrome Day. And let me say hats off to the folks who, some of them I know personally, have been doing a good job and we call it intellectually challenged, Aaron.
Yeah.
So that is the word in Parliament and the bill. So all to all the intellectual challenge, folks, mm-hmm. I say happy day, happy Down Syndrome Day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whatever you mentioned, I want to send a note to my Flow TV team, my new chairman, that the Garden Radio do have a static.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that coming from Garden Radio or that coming from my on my side of BTC Flow TV.
Yeah.
So I let the new behemoth and chairman know. I know you listen to your show. Check that out.
Absolutely, yeah.
I want them to add some European channels, not just American channels, add some European channels to Flow TV, like what I see on our Spice Tech, BBC One and mm-hmm. BBC Two. And
okay.
Also, are you familiar with ITV?
Yeah.
One and two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to add them to the Flow full format, European channels.
So, look here, what do you think about that recent statement about the restructuring of cable's programming? What do you think about that? And do you think that they understand that Bahamians are culturally tuned in to a global North market?
Who's going to be doing the ERCA? It comes from ERCA or who?
Well, no, I think Cable Bahamas announced.
I'm a Cable Bahamas. I don't like them anyway, so obviously, BTC. I have Cable Bahamas in my home, but I my family loves Cable Bahamas, and I love BTC, so.
I got you.
And then BTC start talking that sort of thing.
But BTC has been talking about it already, right? And it's the issue impacts all service providers, right? And uh-huh. So I think it's important for people to know. You can't say, oh, I don't like the way that one service provider is doing it, and I could go to another service provider. What we're going to find uh-huh. is that both service providers are being governed by the same global policies.
But you remember, I think a couple of weeks ago, I bring this up on your show. Somehow you was talking about it. And I was saying, I remember the former Minister of Foreign Affairs, Fred Mitchell, with the ambassador, he didn't get to do it, want to negotiate our communications television service, get the service directly from the United States.
Right, right.
Instead of going to a third party, you expect that. I'm not surprised that's going to be happening.
Well, see, we expect it because of our proximity geographically and our cultural proximity to the U.S. It just seems natural to us. Like, I grew up with satellite from I was five. It just
I grew up in Montana from as a baby.
Right. It just seemed natural to me that we would have automatic access to U.S. media.
Yeah.
But it turns out we're in Latin America, right? We're not in America. And so we are expected to receive our communications through a Latin American channel.
I agree with you. I'm glad you're educating some of the people. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be.
Well,
we had a golden opportunity several years ago. I don't know if you know about this. To get it directly.
We did? Oh, wow.
Out of the United States. But Fred Mitchell jumped the ball on it.
Ah, so I need to go and investigate
that. I hope
you
get him to come on your show, call you, and deny the punk and eat a fox. And I know he's not going to do that. He's going to explain to you why he didn't get to do it.
Yeah, I got you.
But I'm hoping, I'm campaigning, though, in this election. I'm campaigning on some issues Aaron Green need to start bringing up. I'm campaigning on local government.
Mm-hmm.
I'm campaigning on the fact that we just talk about, we need to get it directly from the United States.
I got you.
I'm hoping the chairman, he have a lot of experience.
I got you.
And maybe he might turn the table for us.
Thank you, Pumpkin.
But BTC is the major motherland.
Okay, well, thank you, Pumpkin. I got another call.
Have a good day.
BTC is the state company, right? But hopefully with a local leader, right, a local head of the company, we could engage a different type of discourse about it. But it's an important issue because it speaks to our geopolitical strategy and our location in the world and our expectations of participating in the world. And we should assess that because we need to have a strategy for similar engagements and negotiations. I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hi, good morning, Ms. Green.
Hi,
how
good
are
morning.
You?
I am good, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. I am blessed. I would love to just engage you for two comments. Because the maturity of your show, whether you agree with me or not, is, allow, because I am solution-driven for nationhood duties.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay? This is Berenice Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
And I had to investigate your uncle, too, so he would smile if you would ever hear, put that to him.
Yes, sir.
And it is for the good of the Bahamian nation right now as we are in dire straits.
So tell me what you want to talk
about. Okay, the two comments. Now, I am about, because you brought up about the Down syndrome.
Yeah.
I do believe it's overdue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing that Mrs. Sheila Culmer, she went through the trenches in the 80s. I know of her because I was a police back then.
Mm-hmm.
For all of those who are intellectually challenged.
Yes.
And I do believe that Stapleton School ought to be named as, after her. In her honor while she's alive.
Okay.
Okay, that's number one. And today is the late Sir Lyndon Pinling's birthday.
Yes, ma'am.
Another issue is that they wanted the young daughter not to be on the ticket. She is a woman. And as a matter of fact, two of her her children, aunties, are former woman parliamentarians. And why is that? Please, I would love to know. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you. But you know what? You're absolutely right. Honor should be shown to a woman like Mrs. Sheila Culmer, who has dedicated years of service to the community of people living with disabilities, the disabled community, people living with intellectual challenges, right? And the entire community, advocacy community in itself needs to be honored because of all of the advocacy spaces in the country, I would say since the decline of the labor advocacy movement, the community of disabilities advocacy has been the strongest and most consistent advocacy group in the country. And I remember that they were the first group to raise the conversation about the sustainable development goals and to bring the other parts of the advocacy community on board to have a national discussion about how we would move forward as civil society to approach and engage these the issues that they face. On the matter of Ms. Monique Pindling not receiving a nomination in the PLP, that is a fascinating discussion. It's multi-layered, and there are all kinds of issues that arise. Because somebody may say to you, so what if she's a woman? We don't just elect people because they're women. The real critique is of the question of the perpetuation of the Pindling legacy, right? And that would also require a deep introspection or assessment of Ms. Pindling's personal political philosophy, right? And how that sits in the PLP. And hopefully, we can have some conversations about that in the near future. Because I want to hear from candidates. I want to hear from ordinary people. And when I say ordinary people, I mean someone like Pumpkin Eater, who is a citizen and tell me right away, I already know what issues I'm going to be advocating for and lobbying for when I engage politicians. I got two texts here. Good morning, Aaron. Great show as usual. I would like to recommend you have the Bushman on your show one day. Thank you. I will. And I thank you for sharing his contact. I got it. Aaron Green, Cable Bahamas is upsetting me. They play so many Spanish movies with no English captions. How are we supposed to enjoy movies? I am upset. Where is IRCA? See, this is a big issue, right? Okay, so we sit in the Latin American community. I get that. We may not have enough a large enough population size to warrant access to the U.S. market. I mean, I get it. Technically, I don't understand it, but I get it, right? If you're going to provide Spanish programming, ensure that closed captions and subtitles are available for people to access it. That's one of my most disappointing things with the local programmers, right? I don't have a problem with reading subtitles. And one of the ways that you encourage a culture of appreciation for reading, right, is put subtitles on the screen. That encourages young children to read, right? And then so they get into a culture of another country and they could understand it. But that's something basic and simple. Now, I say that's something in basic and simple, but we see that Cable Bahamas is still having difficulty working out their guide, right? And hopefully this is something that IRCA can work on. And that's another question. Does IRCA provide sufficient services for consumers in the consideration of utilities, regulations, and service providers, right? Is there a real space for consumers to engage them with their complaints, concerns, suggestions? Got another text here. Good morning, Aaron. Sometimes I wonder if the government truly considers the Bahamian people when they are negotiating and making deals on our behalf. Most investors in hotels and private homeowners want beachfront properties, thereby depriving Bahamians of access to vital spaces that we enjoy exploring. So we're depriving Bahamians of access to vital spaces that we enjoy exploring. Next thing you know, Balmoral Beach will be off limits to us. And Aaron, do you think Junkanoo will continue on Shirley Street like it used to be? Take note, just asking. Well, look here. I can get to that in a second. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. Because I've spent the last few weeks heavily critiquing the state and the opposition. Some people have even told me that I'm like lambasting them. You know, they're getting a little harsh. But some people say the critique is not strong enough. But this particular critique aims to show how the political culture compels or coerces us to prioritize politics over governance. So the purpose of the critique is not to shame politicians and state actors and people generally, but it's really about the issues and areas of concern that we never attend to, that we ignore or forget about when silly season starts, or because, you know, it just isn't politically expedient at this time. So you see, I really expected that the prime minister, the leader of the opposition, and other party leaders would have agreed to some things. A, limiting campaigning activities to the prior COVID protocols and restrictions and maximizing the use of digital and online options to engage citizens and constituents. B, I thought these people would commit to a standard in campaigning and political ads, communications and broadcasts. And I thought that we would have seen a pause on all campaign activities during the Lenten and Easter season. And see, as a human rights advocate, right, we promote an abiding respect for all religions and all faith. But we also promote that you don't prioritize one over the other. So I know you were shocked when you heard me say that I expected campaigning activities to pause during the Lenten and Easter season. The church called for it. The Christian Council called for it. And even little old me thinks, what are we doing? And wouldn't it be a great time to set a date for the election and begin the process to set a fixed date for future elections as promised in 2017? But all is not lost, Bahamas. If the political class refuses to moderate itself, to raise the level of public and political discourse, to prioritize governance over politics, and most importantly, to cause or compel themselves and ordinary Bahamians to discipline themselves or be disciplined, then we, the people, will have to do it. We will have to not just demand these changes, but we will have to make them ourselves. You see, like gods, people get the governments they deserve. That's why I govern myself. And that's why we, the people, have to govern ourselves, Bahamas. When the government refuses to focus on the issues that we know require concern, we need to focus on them. When the government and politicians use cheap and sometimes fancy and what we like to call sexy distractions to lead us away from one issue to another, we have to remain focused on the things that we know other Bahamians need to have addressed. So when that texter said, more investors in hotels and private home owners want beachfront properties with the risk of depriving Bahamians of access to vital spaces that we enjoy exploring, one of the things I want the government to know that it needs to focus on is the issue of the housing crisis. People are still demanding and calling out for a solution to the rent and mortgage crisis. Is the government going to sit and talk with the banks about creating a realistic and accessible program for people who are in arrears on their mortgage? Are they going to sit down with the banks and with landlords and create a feasible and accessible program for tenants and landlords? Is the government going to sit down and create a housing strategy, use emergency funds to build housing, to construct apartment-style complexes or courtyard-style complexes? Because it's 2021. We were already concerned about people living in their cars post-Dorian in Abaco and Grand Bahama, and people displaced from those islands to New Providence who still can't find work, who still can't find a place to live, who still can't find the money to meet the bills. Where is the housing strategy? Is the state willing to intervene and to sit down with the banks and with Central Bank to work out a solution? What are people to do? What are people to do? So thank you, texter, for that text. That was important. I got a text here that says they are forcing us to learn Spanish. That's not how you do it. See, it would be great if we took this opportunity, right, and said, you know what? If we don't have the size, like the capacity to engage the global policy, right, maybe we could take this opportunity and use it. But you can't teach people the Spanish without the subtitles, right? And you can't force people into language immersion programs. But something as simple as subtitles could be a step, right? And then you organize people. You give them tools and show them. And at the very least, you have to tell them, hey, while you're experiencing this problem, use it as an opportunity to learn Spanish. That is a great idea. I got another text. Good morning, Aaron. This government has desecrated the Easter week. This competent authority seems to be a heathen. No, I don't think that's what it is. I think that's an unfair assessment. However, that personal assessment is unfair and unwarranted. However, what we have seen over successive administrations, right, and particularly in this administration, is a disregard, right? A disregard for these cultural spaces, the impact they have on ordinary people's lives, and the impact they have on the culture as a whole, right? And like I said earlier, as a human rights advocate, I'm not promoting one religion over the other, but in terms of culture and the citizens' cultural rights, I think it's important for the government to act with more respect and sensitivity to the Christian community and other religious communities in this regard, right? Because on the face of it, another critique is, well, they're beginning to treat the Christian church the way that they treat all other religions and faiths in this country, right? So when the Christian Council remarked in an article in the paper last week that the political class and the government disregarding the sanctity of the Easter and Lenten season by conducting campaigning activities, that's the same cry that the Rastafarian community has had for decades and decades, that the state continues to disregard their faith, their script, their cultural, their religious, spiritual, and cultural spaces and practices, and refuses to engage them in policy decisions that impact them greatly, right? So another critique is the government just treating the Christian church like it treats all other matters of faith. Arlington, ready to roll to a break? Yeah, man, let's go to a break. And when we get back, I'm going to continue my list of things that the government should be focused on instead of campaigning at this time, and the issues that we, the people, can start to deal with while they absent doing other things. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, and we will be right back after this break.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. You're On the Clock with Erin Green. Today is Monday, March 22nd, 2021. And I'm glad you didn't turn your dial because you're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So we're talking headlines. We're talking what's in the news. It's an open line Monday. One of the things I saw in today's papers that really drew my attention is in the Tribune, in the letters to the editor section, right? And this turns out this is the second letter in a matter of weeks from a former member of the, well, a former prisoner, a former guest at a royal prison, Her Majesty's Royal Prison. And I was stunned by the letter. I'm going to say I was really stunned by the letter. As an advocate, although I don't focus on prisoners' rights, I do talk about them, right? And I'm aware of the issues the prisoners are facing, right, in that facility. But I was stunned by this letter today. And I think it's important, right? I just want to read parts of it, but I think it's important. If you pick up the Tribune, read the letter. Because people in prison have rights. First of all, they're humans. No matter what they did, they have rights. People who are in the prison and on remand have not even been sentenced yet. So we haven't determined whether they're guilty of the crime they've been accused of yet. And still we treat them as if they've been found guilty of a crime, right? One, I can read a small segment from the letter. Inmates who went to work at four... Now, sorry, before I read this letter, let me just say that this is a letter to the editor. This is not a statement of fact. This is not a statement of fact determined by a court after a court case. This is the account of one man who unfortunately experienced the prison system. He says, inmates who went to work at 4 a.m. until 3 p.m. would have their food taken away and eaten by officers. It was like a constant effort to demean us. He goes on to say, yes, men are still being beaten with belts and wooden bats. He goes on to say, I witnessed a young man in remand center brutally beaten by four officers to give up a cell phone. I watched another young man beaten by two officers and sent to Max because they could smell but could not find the weed in his cell. He goes on to say, Bahamian men are being looked upon and treated less than human by Bahamian officers. It is the prison officers who are making things worse in this country by their hostility and abusive actions. And so I, as a radio host, not even a journalist, cannot say whether these things are true. I have encountered and interacted with a number of people who have told me similar stories. But what I can say is this, that the mere suggestion that these things are happening in the prison system warrants an immediate investigation. Like, that's how things are supposed to work in a democracy. The fact that people are still using slop buckets. And the gentleman writes, I lived in the remand center, the max, and lastly, medium security before my time expired. Yes, men in remand are still urinating, and I'm changing some words here, are still urinating and passing feces in buckets. There was not one properly working toilet in remand. Yes, the men in Max are still, and I'm changing a word here, defecating in slop buckets every day. And none of the broken toilets in the medium security facility can flush on their own. The entire place is terribly overcrowded as dorms that were built for 25 now house 40 men, all crammed like slaves on a ship. Now, dear Bahamas, often I speak about how we as adults should not be able to sleep comfortably until we know that all children and vulnerable people in this place are safe. But I want to say this to us, in case we don't understand our duty of care as citizens to other citizens, right? The prisoners, the people on remand, the people detained in the prison system deserve better. And our Constitution guarantees them better than this. And every issue you see a prison officer protesting about, know that there's another issue that is a thousand times worse that prisoners wish they could protest about. In a system that is supposed to make a space for them to register complaints, even convicted prisoners have rights. And these people can't be locked away in prison forever. When their sentences are finished, they have the right to come back into society. And how will we treat them then? Will we understand the hardships and toils and trauma and violence that they're forced to experience in this prison? And let me tell you something that's not in this letter that I will say. We know that there is a bully and gang culture in the prison that enables the rape of male prisoners by other male prisoners. And there is a culture that allows it to go on unchecked. But prison officers have a duty of care for those prisoners. Your job is to protect them from each other and themselves. And so, you know, earlier in the month, throughout the month, I focused heavily on International Women's Day and the issues that arise for women. And I've taken some chafing and some critique from my audience about what they perceive to be a biased focus on women. Well, let me say that this is a woman's issue. Because when family members go to prison, it is primarily women that support them. Women that take them food, women that hear their complaints, women that go and the visitation is canceled, women that go and can't see the person and spend time and money to maintain the communication with their family members in prison. This is a woman's issue, right? But it's also a man's issue because we know that men disproportionately are experiencing this violence in the prison system. Something has to change. As we could see, both the prisoners and the prison officers have been agitating and protesting for decades. And so maybe the change has to come from us, Bahamas. Maybe we need to be the change that we need to see. If anybody would like to share a personal story, a personal experience, or something that they witnessed from someone else about the prison system, please feel free to call in. Call in lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. I'm looking for another story in the paper that really caught my eye, and I thought it was important to talk about. It's about the food distribution network, right? And concerns that we just don't have enough money to feed the people in need. And so I'm just going to start briefly. The Food Distribution Network is asking an additional $26 million that they think will cover a period of April to September. And they also indicate that that increase would be able to facilitate 25,000 households, moving us from 18,000 to 25,000 households. But I got a caller on the clock. Let's get to this caller. Caller, you're live.
Morning.
Good
Valley
morning.
Boys, are we on the clock?
Valley Boys are on the clock.
Okay, good. I got a personal story that really, really upset me this morning.
Yes, sir.
With this competent authority and Paul Rowell, the Commissioner of Police. Do you know, Ms. Green, that the Democratic National Alliance and their leader and all of them was arrested this morning?
What?
Dr. Minnis needs to stop his foolishness.
Okay, pause. Hold on, pause. Let's pause. So let's not directly attribute this to Dr. Minnis yet, right? Let's delve into it. Tell me more.
You remember the protest that the Alliance did in the front of the House of Assembly a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, sir.
Well, they came back and they had them arrested this morning for that event, which we know. A lot of double standards been going on because ministers walking all about and everybody else, but a bunch of people doing and saying what they want to say. And they say, when arrested, I went to come and laugh at them, had them to come in to the police unit this morning, and I am highly upset about that. This double standard in this town. Very upset.
So, before you go, let me ask you, do you know what language was used when they were arrested? Did the police say what they were arresting them for?
The police told them they didn't have no permit to
assemble
the demonstration.
Okay.
But according to the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we are free to demonstrate in a sensible way, decent way, and we don't need no permit. And like they told the police, that the permit is only to alert you so you could come and keep the order and make sure everything is right. We don't need to write to the police for no permit to have a demonstration, and that is correct.
Now, let me ask you another question. Were you in town? Were you on the scene when they were arrested?
No, I was not. I'm kind of a little handicapped.
I understand that. Because here's some of the questions that I'm going to ask, right? Because I'm looking at the Guardian, the insert, Perspectives by Sharon Turner, and I'm looking beneath the fold, right? And I see two pictures, one of the FNM in campaign gear and campaign mode.
Thank you.
And right next to it is a picture of the PLP
in
campaign gear and campaign mode, right?
Thank you.
And in both images, we can see that people are not maintaining the 3 to 6 foot protocol.
Thank you.
And in one of the images, we could see clearly that people are not wearing their masks properly, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So do you think it's possible that the police are going to... Well, do you think it's possible that the reason that they were detained... Because let's just say at this point they were detained. We don't know if they were arrested and charged, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? They were detained. Do you think it's possible that they were detained for not following the COVID protocols in the midst of a legit or legal protest?
Well, I could be like you and be very cautious to what I say.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they were called in relation to that demonstration shows one-sidedness.
Right.
It is biased. And to me, it tells me that the competent authority, whatever you call him, prime minister, he doesn't want to ease. He is power struck. He is a dictator. You understand him and Paul Rowell, because Paul Rowell is his best friend.
Well, now, we don't know that.
I know that.
But you can't say, see, you got to be very careful. You can't just say that because you know that, right? I'm just saying, you know, we want to model the behavior, right?
Yeah, but that's the problem in this town, Ms. Green. When things in court, we can't talk about it. When people like me who call in, who knows, and I could give you more information, you don't want to hear it. That's
no.
Our problem. We truly ain't democratic, and we can't be free.
Well, that's not
because
what it is.
Because we can't say certain things on the radio. Ain't none of that is derogatory. Everybody know Paul Rowell is Minister Boy. Everybody know that. That's who called him back from Andres.
Wow, see?
Because he was prepared to quit the force.
You
he
saying
what he wanted.
You saying everybody knows, but you have me in this room stunned because I didn't know.
But when I say everybody,
I know what you mean.
The majority of people.
Right. I understand what you're saying, right? But to build the public discourse to a point where we can make it effective, right, as citizens, to make it an effective tool to engage the political class, we got to be careful. It's
okay,
not
let me do like House Assembly. I retract that statement.
No, no, I'm not telling you to retract it, right? But I use it as a point to say that we see that politicians are very good at crafting narratives, right, to further their agenda. So we want to be very careful how we craft our narratives and how we speak in the public space.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all
ma'am.
It is. But I want to thank you for calling in and sharing that information.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am.
So I want to say to the media, please go and determine
look
whether this
it.
Is true.
Yeah, look into it.
Yes, sir. And
okay,
thank you for calling. And thank you for sharing that information, right? I got another text here. The Commission of Police is an independent organization. How people get to blaming the Prime Minister is beyond me. Structurally, there's a separation, right? The Commissioner of Police and the Royal Bahamas Police Force is an independent organization. But in practice, we know that the rule of law and the structure of government has been eroded to the point, right, where some things that clearly should not be happening continue to happen. Got a caller on the line? Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Mary. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Not bad. You know, a video, they say a picture is, what, 1,000 words?
Mm-hmm.
So what is a video worth?
Boy.
Because there's a lot of video of the incident that occurred. There's video of her and her chairman standing up in front of the police station being addressed by the officers. So obviously I didn't see no handcuffs on her, but definitely she was not free to leave as she pleased.
Yeah.
So one can assume that she's under arrest.
Well, no, one can assume that she has been detained.
Detained.
Right. That's a technicality in the law. See, here's the second thing.
Right, but
there's
detained
video
at the police station?
Pardon?
Detained at the police station.
Oh, yeah. I could tell you it happened to me before. In fact, I asked them to arrest me, and they refused to arrest me. They insisted that they were only detaining me and requested that I wait politely and patiently. And you know, my Grammy come from the Fort Hill, so I did what the police say, right? But that is a technical, that's a technical position. But you could be detained and not arrested.
I get that, right? But my main issue is, when did we need permission to protest? But when the problem is, behemoth has allowed ourselves to give away our freedom so much that we allow in governments to do these things when it's unconstitutional.
Well, let me give you a real example of why you need to seek permission to protest.
We don't need permission to protest. We only need to inform you that we are going downtown and to make sure that we are safe in case something happens.
Okay, right. So that's it right there. The last thing you said, that's it right there. So when I was a member of the Rainbow Alliance of the Bahamas, right, we wanted to host a welcoming demonstration for the guests of the Rosie O'Donnell Gay Pride Cruise, right?
Right, yeah.
And so we knew that there was a group, a religious group that that had also requested to hold a protest in Rawson Square, right? And they called it a protest. We call ours a demonstration. So we went to the police to seek permission. And you know what they told us? They told us, look, we don't have a problem with granting this to y'all. We don't have a problem with what y'all want to do. There is one major concern. Our biggest consideration is because of the proximity of the two events and the nature of the events, we're both sort of demonstrating for cruise passengers, they have to determine that they can ensure a safe environment for both groups of demonstrators and ordinary Bahamians and the cruise passengers. Now, our issue was particular, right? But those are the real considerations that police have to make.
Now, let's look at our history.
Yeah.
When was the last time we had a violent protest in the Bahamas?
Boy. I don't know. But just because we haven't had one in a long time doesn't mean there's no potential for it.
In more than 60 years,
and
never had a violent protest in the Bahamas. You look at your population, you look at what actually has happened at the time, and you determine, can these people be separated? If they can't be separated, then what's the issue?
Well, there are lots of issues involved.
But in this case, there was no dueling protest. There was one protest. No other outsiders protesting against that protest.
So, I got you.
So you can't say, well, we don't want you to come to this place because we're not sure of your safety from some outsider protesting.
Well,
there's no excuse in this point.
I gotta go. I already lost two callers, but I really enjoyed this issue that you raised because there's a lot to talk about in it there. See, it's not just the protesters, right? It's not just the people demonstrating that the police have to be concerned about. The police also have to be concerned about whether someone will take advantage of this moment, right? And use it to incite another event. And that's a very real and important concern.
Right. But my last point is, we don't have the minority report, but we can determine what's going to happen beforehand. So we can't arrest someone or tell them you can't do something because we're sure something's going to happen.
I agree with you.
It's still against the Constitution to deny them their right. I'm going to listen.
Well, listen, thank you very much for that call. And these are matters that need to be interrogated. You know what? In the next few weeks, I'm hoping to have some human rights advocates and some lawyers on so we could talk about it, right? Because we are in the midst of one of the greatest, right, shifts or movements in how we think about our human rights and what it is the state is obligated to do for us and on our behalf, right? In the midst of the vaccine discussion, the discussion on the restriction of freedom of movement and travel, this is one of the most important conversations we're going to have. But we need to have it, like, you know, not respectfully, that's not the right word, but responsibly. We got to bring in the industry professionals. I am not a lawyer. I just sound like a lawyer when I'm on TV, right? And so we got to be responsible about it. But thank you guys for calling and sharing your concerns this morning. There's lots for the Bahamas to look at and talk about in today's papers. Grab the Guardian. Take a look at Perspective. There are two great reads in there. Read the letters to the editor. Understand what your fellow citizens' concerns are. And most importantly, stay tuned to 96.9 FM because Levan Miller and Unleashed is coming up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.